Dan Bell joins us at this time. He's the public information officer for a prescribed burn that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service conducted in the Horicon Marsh area yesterday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How big a burn are we talking about here?
Well, actually, there were two burns yesterday. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the federal side, we did a 100-acre burn right off of Dyke Road, and it was kind of ironic. I was notified that the DNR was also going to be doing a 670-acre burn on the southwest side of the state area, state marsh area. So we had a lot of smoke in the air yesterday, and in case people were wondering what we were doing, well, we were doing prescribed burns, and the reason why we do prescribed burns is to pretty much, it's an ecological reasoning behind it. What a prescribed burn does, it stimulates the growth of native prairie grasses and flowers pretty much by removing, you know, non-native and invasive trees and shrubs and grasses. A lot of canary grass in the spot that we burned, and the wind was perfect, the weather was perfect, the relative humidity was perfect for burning, and so we started at about 11:15. The ignition started, and we finished about 4 or 5 o'clock. You know, Bob, after we burned the area, and we got rid of all that grasses and invasive grasses that are there, there was a lot of dead ash trees on the spot. And as you know, in Wisconsin, those ash trees are just dying off in large numbers because of that bore. So we had a couple of what we call snags that were going, and snags are pretty heavy fuel that's burning pretty hard, and so we had to do quite a bit of mop-up for about an hour afterwards. So you probably saw, everybody probably saw a lot of smoke in the area yesterday for quite a while.
How long does it take for that vegetation to regrow?
Well, as a PIO, public information officer, my job yesterday was to block off the road and interact with public. And I had about 21 vehicles, 3 from out of state, that were kind of interested in what was going on, seeing all that smoke. So they came down and they asked me that same question. You know, oh boy, look how black that hill looks now. That's not going to be. I said, well, I'll tell you what, you get a little rain tomorrow, maybe a little rain early next week. You come back here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, that'll all be nice and green and be perfect for beneficial to the wildlife in the area. It greens up pretty quick, Bob, if you get a lot of moisture. See, people understand that when you burn, the black or the burnt residue basically impregnates itself into the ground and works like a fertilizer. It helps the growth the new growth that comes up at a later time, and it's actually good for the land.
That's also habitat, though, right?
Oh, sure. You know, that was another question some people asked. Well, there might be some birds that are nesting. What happens? Well, it's a little early for the eggs yet, but when the birds are starting to build nests and a burn comes through, that burn moves pretty quick. So, yeah, there is some nesting damage, but those birds will find a whole new nesting area, and they'll just re-nest for the spring. Animals, well, they see that coming. They just get out of the area for a while, and then they come back. You know, in my 25 years of being part of the U.S. Fish and Wildland Fire Crew, I have never seen us injure an animal or a bird in those 25 years, and I've been on a lot of prescribed burns and burns out west on major wildfires.
Yep. Is that pretty much just done in the spring, then, the prescribed burns?
Excuse me. No, yeah, mostly in the spring because they want to, you know, after the winter ends, a lot of the grasses are pretty dry. Good time to do it. They also do it late fall and into the winter. I know on the federal side, they'll do the cattails. I know the DNR down between Mayville and Horicon, they burned in the middle of winter to get rid of some of the cattails, the dead cattails. So I think pretty much prescribed burns go around year-round depending upon the requirement.
Have you ever worked on the burn end?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I I started doing PIO work about 5 years ago. At my age, it got to the point where I was getting a little old to go humping through weeds and grasses and carrying a heavy drip torch. That's for the younger people, but I'm still involved as a public information officer because I've been there and I've done that. I've seen the use of the equipment. I know what training's involved, and I know what it takes. So if somebody asks me a question about what that person is doing or what that fire engine is doing, I said, well, here's what they're doing because I've done that in the past.
You're going to laugh, Dan, but my gap year in college, I worked for the U.S. Forest Service for a year, and I did work on a couple of prescribed burns.
Did you do the drip torching?
No.
Oh, okay.
I basically did the mop-up.
using the flapper and falling, yeah. You know, and that's another thing, too. People wonder about what happens with private lands. You know, a lot of private lands circumvent the DNR land and the federal land, and you really have to watch any firebrands. What I call firebrands is when something's burning, those little particles will float up in the air, and some of those are still on fire and have a lot of heat in them, and they can land on somebody's private property. So we always have lookouts, or people are always watching the private lands area to make sure that there isn't a mop-up or required to have to go in and take care of a fire that would have worked its way over into the private area. So
do we have any more scheduled coming up?
Well, there'll be a few more scheduled, probably some smaller burns. I know they were out the day before yesterday on more on the western side of the county doing a burn. But they're always looking. You know, the federal part of the Wisconsin National Wildlife Refuge, they have over 22,000 acres that they need to take care of, and about 1,100 or so probably were hit already this year, but usually between 3,500 and 5,000 acres of the 70,000 acres of refuge land are burned annually in the Midwest region. So they bite off a good chunk of the land every year doing prescribed burns, keeping that habitat nice and healthy.
Well, Dan, anything else you wanted to mention while we got you going here?
No, if you ever see a burn, if you're ever interested, if you see that people are, the roads might be blocked off, but if somebody is there, feel free to walk up and talk to them. I think the public should be interested. We're doing it for them, and it's always good to interact with the public, and the firefighters are highly trained, but are really appreciative of their interest. So I appreciate being on the radio.
Well, Dan, it was nice talking to you again.
We'll see you soon, sir.
All righty.
Take care.
That is Dan Bell, who is a public information officer who was working a prescribed burn for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service yesterday on the federal side of the Horicon Marsh and wildlife area. We appreciate him joining us this morning.